April 11th, 2019, and the time is 3:30 p.m. We have a quorum of the audit committee. Lori is not able to attend, and so Paul is going to be in her stead. So I'll call the meeting of the audit committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. So the first order of business is the approval of the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on February 14th, 2019. These minutes were circulated to the members in the agenda packet. Are there any corrections to the minutes?
No.
Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the Finance Commission?
So moved.
Okay, Paul. Victor, is there a second? Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay. The ayes have it and the motion passes. Next, we'll review the agency's activities, starting with the Department of Banking.
Yes, ours is on page 5. The only thing, we really don't have any outstanding audit issues. We still are working on the consumer complaint rules from the Sunset report. And then the only other thing we currently have going on is McConnell and Jones are currently working on our IT audit. So we will bring that whenever that's completed and we receive the report.
Great. Like that? Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Savings and mortgage lending is on page 6. For Sunset recommendations, the penalty matrix, we have updated that and we've implemented it on April 1. It's due at May 1st, but it's already done. And then we're also developing our consumer complaint rules, which we anticipate bringing to the Finance Commission in June. We also have a Texas Workforce Commission audit starting. It's the HR policies and procedures, and they anticipate beginning their field visit April 23rd.
And the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner reports on page 7. There's 3 items currently in progress that are from prior reviews. First, there was an item from the Garza Gonzalez Property Tax Lender Examination Audit that is awaiting some IT functionality development, but that project's in progress, and we anticipate an 8/31 implementation date on that. The other 2 are the Sunset items. And we're working, currently staff's working on key performance measures. I know there's work groups that are meeting in separate work teams as well as collectively as a whole working towards these updated measures. So we will have those prepared before the September 1, 2019 implementation date. And then we are also working on our complaint rules. So those are the current items from previous reviews. And then we've labeled the bottom section future items, but that's maybe current and future items because we have a internal audit that's presently ongoing for IT change management, and that has begun. Obviously, the efficiency audit is in progress, and then our Workforce Commission personnel policies and procedures review. The field work has been completed in that particular audit. We've looked at some preliminary, we've given some preliminary some other preliminary information, so some preliminary recommendations, and we're waiting on the report.
Okay, next we have the discussion and possible vote to recommend that the Finance Commission take action on the agency's February 28, 2019 investment officer reports.
The banking department's reports begin on page 8, and Jesse Sasio, our review examiner in the Special Audits Division, is going to present our reports.
Good afternoon. Jesse Sasio, Texas Department of Banking. So I'm going to go over the investment officer reports for the Guarantee Fund, starting on page 8 through page 12. Actually, I'm going to cover pages 8 through 12. On page 8, we have the recap for the trust-funded prepaid guarantee fund. It's a period of December 1st, 2018 through February 28th, 2019. Again, you will notice the balances as of February 28th. And under item 1, there's the deductions. It details all the deductions we had for that account. And on item number 2, we have the additions. I would consider most of it normal activity. However, I would like to point out item E, which is related to us, to Billy F. Peel and Austin Peel and Son. So that is something that related to prepaid funeral contracts, where the department became aware of some illegal contracts that were sold. We subsequently issued an emergency order in August of 2018, and February of 2019, we collected restitution from the funeral home in the amount, well, we collected a total of $529.86. So $528,629.86.
So I have a question.
Sure.
What happens, or if this fund gets too high, do we do anything with it? Does it just stay there forever? Or?
So what we do is we are able to collect assessments up to $1 million. So right now we are at $1 million, but we also use this fund to administer these type of activity, like illegal contracts, restitution, and so forth. So the fund actually, a lot of this, about right now, as of February 28th, about $600,000 or so is made up of amounts that are due to individuals, restitution.
Okay.
So out of that, the 524, right, plus some other additional amounts that we have in there are made up of that, of money that's actually due to consumers. We regularly monitor that, and we have a policy where we pay that out. We review it at least quarterly, if not every 6 months, and we do pay out those funds to consumers as we start accumulating, because a lot of these individuals or permit holders are actually paying very small amounts monthly. So what we do is once we get at least 20% of what is required to be collected, then we issue those refunds to consumers. So we are monitoring it. Some of that is actually some of the interest as well. So you'll notice that we continue to earn interest on the actual fund. So it is getting a little bit over $1 million. But we also use this fund to pay out claims. So if somebody comes in with a claim for a prepaid funeral contract that they had a valid permit, then the money will come out of that fund.
So the whole $500,000 is really due to consumers,
oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
I read that somewhere else.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
So in the next report, the 545 will be gone.
Yeah.
Because it'll be gone. And there is no limit on what can be in the fund. The limit is once it reaches $1 million, we no longer do assessments again for it.
So okay, but if you still have penalties, obviously it will raise it, right?
Penalties don't go in here. Mm-hmm. This is totally restitution.
Right.
It's guarantee fund money and restitution money. Penalties go to the operating account for the banking department.
Okay. So that $500,000 wasn't a penalty. It
no.
was a restitution.
That's restitution.
Restitution.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I
correct.
Got it straight. All right.
Amounts due to consumers. And we're working through, like Stephanie said, paying those back to issuing refund checks. Anything else on?
How did they pay it?
They, my understanding, they were able to sell, were selling the funeral home, and that's how they got the money. They were in a prime location, and they were able to sell the business and part of the, I mean, and that's where the money comes from.
Well, it's just right down the street, right?
Yes.
Yeah, down I-35.
Yes,
yeah.
In the corner of 35 and 183.
Right.
Yes.
Wow.
So it's a pretty good location. Yes. Well, it's prime as far as property, from my understanding.
Okay.
Anything else? No? Okay. So let's go to page 9. This is the insurance prepaid funeral guarantee account. And this is the one where we're still collecting assessments because it's still not at $1 million. So under item number 1, that is assessments we collected from insurance-funded permit holders. That's through February 28th. We also collected some in March, but that'll be in the next report. So other than that, normal activity there. Any questions on that page? And then on page 10, this is where if we seize funds from somebody, an entity, we just report that if those funds are frozen or there's an order. This is also related to Austin Peel and Son. The funds were originally seized and they were the account was frozen. And then eventually we did transfer the funds back to the prepaid, to the Texas Treasury safekeeping, and it's part of the amount that we talked about earlier. Page 8. So as of the funds were transferred in December 18. So it stands at a zero balance, so we don't have any more funds at that account. Questions?
Okay.
So and the last two items are 11 and 12. This is as part of our administrative memorandum related to guarantee fund investment policy. We are required to go and take training every 2 years, and Stephanie and I went in February of 2019, and this, these are certificates to demonstrate compliance with that requirement.
Okay,
right.
Great, thank you, Justin.
Thank you.
Okay, for savings and mortgage lending, on page 13 is the investment officer report for the recovery fund. The CDs that are currently out there are listed, and I'd be happier, or Antonio and I, one or the other, would be happy to answer questions.
Okay, the Office of the Consumer Credit Commissioner report is on page 14 and 15. 14 is a residential mortgage loan originator recovery fund, and there's normal activity. It's a pretty small fund, so there's pretty small activity in that fund. Page 15 is the Financial Education Endowment Fund, and you'll see there's a bit more activity in that. This is the second quarter report, so the normal additions of the collected amounts from the credit access businesses have been received during this quarter, and so those show up as additions. You'll also see some transfers that happened. We, as you may recall, we received a transfer from the Savings and Mortgage Lending Department in the first quarter, and that plus some other funds, we were able to take those and transfer those from the cash portion into the investment portion during the second quarter. And so then you'll see the current breakdown and the current value of the funds. But other than that, it's normal activity. Christina Cuellar-Hoek is here. If you have any detailed questions, she can answer those related to this issue. But that's our report on the investment officer.
Okay, I'm good with that. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's February 28, 2019 investment officer report?
So moved.
Durham?
Second.
All. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. Okay, discussion and possible. Discussion of and possible vote to recommend that the Finance Commission take action on the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner's internal audit report as prepared and presented by McConnell and Jones, LLP, regarding the investment administration controls of the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund. Darlene?
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I have our first official report to present to you guys, and it's the TIF fund audit. This is a and it begins on page 16 of your materials, but this is a required audit that's every 2 years, and the purpose is to make sure that the organization is in compliance with your internal investment policies, plus also the statute of the Public Funds Investment Act. So if you look on page 19 of your packet, that's just a picture of the audit at a glance. And what that means, our scope, the first thing that we did is we took your investment policies and we compared those to statutory requirements that there's certain items that are required to be written down in your policies. And then the second thing is we, after we got those lined up, we took each item such as training, and reporting and match those up to make sure that everything that is happening and required is really being reported out and everybody's receiving their training. So our focus, and as you scroll on through the report, you can see how we did each table separately. And happy to report that the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner is in full compliance with your internal policies and the Public Funds Investment Act. You receive your training as required, but your internal policy statement is missing one statement that requires all investment officers to receive their training. So it's a minor, very super low risk item, and I'm sure that that's going to be updated very quickly.
So they do receive the training, it
yes.
just wasn't in the policy.
Correct.
So it's in a different policy.
Yeah.
It's in a different policy, but according to the Public Funds Investment Act, it's supposed to be actually in your investment policy, which I think it's an antiquated,
right.
You know, it's one of those antiquated ones, but it's happening. You guys are all receiving your training as required. And also we looked at how the TIF grant itself is administered to make sure that the grants that are being awarded awarded are following the policies that you have already approved, and we had no findings.
I have a couple of questions, I don't know who to address them to, so let me just ask them and see who has an answer. On page 23 and then again on page 25, let's start with 23 in the chart. There's a bunch of nice green check marks over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one that says the OCCC does not invest in pooled fund groups.
Mm-hmm.
Is a pooled fund group a term of art? What does that mean? I thought when we put money in the Texas safekeeping fund, it was pooled with a bunch of other money and invested all as a pool. So I don't quite understand what that means. Anybody help me? Or can we find out and get back to us?
We can get back to you. My impression is it's more like municipalities investing in there's a tax pool fund, and that it's addressed for similar issues. Yeah.
I just want somebody to tell me that the Texas State Fair Keeping Fund is not a pool as described by that statute. And then we've got on page 25 at the bottom, we have an NA instead of a nice little green check mark. And so, I looked at the statute. Statute says the higher education coordinating board shall provide the training. What does NA mean?
Well, you're because this is a requirement. If you are in the higher education board, you have to get this training. At least that is our interpretation of it, and I will check into that further for you because.
It sort of seemed like a non sequitur that we would have anything to do with the Texas Higher Education Board, so the NA makes sense, but I just wanted to try to understand. I mean, it's in the statute,
mm-hmm.
and so I just didn't quite understand whether that, I kept trying to come up with, well, does that mean that they prepare the training and then all the other state agencies use that training, or does that just apply to them for their own training? I just don't understand.
We will clarify that, but the statute also allows you to use their training or go outside for training, and your staff go outside through the qualified training.
Staff, but we're using the Higher Education Coordinating Board training, I believe, for the board members.
So why wouldn't it be a check mark instead of a...
Well, that's my oversight.
Well, could we?
We'll clarify that.
Because I like green check marks better than NAs.
Okay.
All right. We'll clarify.
Thank you. Let me see if I can meddle in trouble. I think that's it. Thank you.
Do you want to, Hector? Do you have any questions? Or? Did you want to hold off on the recommendation until you?
No.
Okay.
I just like answers.
Yeah. No. That's a good catch on the pool fund. I would have thought Tiki was a pooled fund. But maybe it's excluded.
I think there's more in the statute we need to pull back to.
Because it could be excluded because it's run by the kind of thing. Right.
I just don't have it in memory, so I can't tell you right now.
And that's unusual, Leslie.
I was going to say.
Well, the Texas Treasury Safekeeping Company has different fund types that you can invest in, and I believe one of them is a pool, designated pool fund.
I just want the analysis for why.
Sure.
There's no other questions, so I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner's Internal Audit Report as prepared and presented by McConnell & Jones LLP regarding the Investment Administration Controls of the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund.
Easy for you to say. So moved.
Okay, Paul, do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, Hector, any other discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. A report on activities related to TP. That's what I'm going to say from now on.
All right, Juan Hernandez. I'll ask Juan Garcia to provide our report on the Financial Education Endowment.
Afternoon. Good afternoon, members of the Ad Committee, Madam Chair. What you have on page 31 is a report that we bring you every 6 months that summarizes the activity for the grantees in the specific period where we're at. We're currently in the third cycle, and so what you have here is the reporting period from July 1st, 2018 through December 31st. It gives you the highlights and sometimes some of the challenges the programs are facing and how they're overcoming these challenges. I'll turn you just very quickly to page 34. It gives you a summation from the amount that was awarded and the amount that has been spent year to date. And that gives you about $152,000 that are still remaining for these grantees to spend. We anticipate they'll spend them. They still have a year. So I think we're on track to continue to draw the funding for the period. You have in front of you, like I mentioned, just summaries of the grantees. There's 9 grantees that have been awarded $250,000, and I won't necessarily go over all the details, but I did want to mention one of the programs that grant coordinator Deandra Sullivan brought up to my attention, and she's been working very closely with these grantees. And probably one of the best highlights that I can share with you today is on page 43, it's the Women's Resource of Greater Houston. What they have done is created their own curriculum. And you may be asking yourself why, since there's many curriculums out there. Well, the current curriculums that are out there are from the FDIC and some of the others are outdated, per se. And they've just recently released a new one, but these guys decided not to wait. And so what they did was tailor it to specifically to their needs. Most of the women that come to their group, they're taught basic or budgeting on unlimited income. They're working on credit repair and recovery, how to prioritize bill paying. And so these are some of the things that this particular group is interested in, and so they develop a curriculum to do so, and it was tailored just for their needs. And so this has come to be quite an outstanding program that when we initially awarded them, we didn't necessarily think they were going to take it to this level. And so year to date, they've provided financial education curriculum as a specialized program. They've provided 2,400 participants with financial education services. They've provided 224 financial education classes. And so it really, really just demonstrates the success of the TIFI grant program that you guys have overseen over the last couple of years to showcase what even small amounts can do a great impact in these particular communities.
Juan, is there any way to take at the end of this program, to take this result and figure out how to scale it up to other agencies if it's a useful program?
We certainly can, and I think that's sort of the discussion that right now Deandra, the grant coordinator, and I are in right now and trying to figure out, okay, if we have a model that we see the success, how do we replicate that in other parts of the state?
Yeah, because while it's great to help 10 women, you know, what I'd like to see is, you know, an exponential, you know, have these types of programs then be able to scale broadly and use to other places. And I don't know that we have a budget or a staff to be able to do that. So it's the same anxiety I've had before in these programs is they seem to be one-offs instead of something that, you know, train the trainers or something that can have a bigger effect on Texas.
Well, probably the biggest impact that we could make is on the trainers. And that's because we only have a staff of one, and trying to cover all corners of the state would be a little bit of a challenge. But we certainly will regroup and figure out how we can make the biggest impact, specifically in a program such as Successful Business.
I like the measurements, the goals that are measured here, where you can actually see something other than, you know, where they're actually saving money and it's showing success in it. Some of them, you know, they just say we train so many people and you don't know what happens, if it is effective or not. Well, some haven't even used the money yet. What do we do with that?
Well, so those guys have funding that they're using first, and some of it just has to do with the timing. Some of their funding, if they don't use it for a period of time, then it cuts off, and so they're trying to use that money for that particular period of time. And then they have indicated, because we've been in contact with them, that they are going to be using the money. They're just trying to deplete what they've already been awarded from other grant awards.
Okay. And I read somewhere that the committee is going to meet in May sometime to start talking about the next grants that are going to be coming up?
Yes, ma'am, that is correct. We're in the planning stage right now to put that meeting together to make sure that we sort of do the lessons learned from the last, this current grant period and the one that we just completed in December to even make it a better program. Yes.
Awesome. Great.
The other thing I will say before I go is when you guys awarded these 9 recipients, their goal was to train 17,000 plus individuals. That's what they had put in their application proposal. Year to date, they're at 76.2%. So it's pretty powerful what these folks are doing with the amount that you guys are awarding.
Great.
I can answer any other questions.
How many other organizations were in the pool? You selected, 9 were selected, but how many? How long was the list?
I believe it was 20 recipients that asked for funds, and it was almost $1 million. And so, obviously, with $250,000, the group decided to award 9 entities for this time around.
And we're not limited in, like, that 250 isn't a limit, right?
That's
because
right.
Now that we have more funds in there, obviously, we'll have more ability to reach more groups.
I may regret this, saying this, but we'll be bringing to you a proposal by the next meeting to tell you where the fund is as far as earnings go so you can get a better picture. Because all this money that you have awarded until now has not been drawn from the corpus.
Oh, it's just interest. It's just been interest?
Did I say that right?
Well, some of it, we ceded some litigation settlement funds to begin the process. But, but there's also been earnings. But now there are more earnings available.
Yeah, really.
I think the fund has $5 million just in the fund itself, $7 million in total. There's cash on hand based on the report that you have before you.
Great. Anything else? Okay. Anything else that needs to come before our audit committee? All right.
Thank you.
There be no further business. This meeting of the audit committee of the Finance Commission of Texas is now adjourned, the time being 4:00.